But if you close your eyes.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to This Week Again. I'm your host, Suzanne Posel. We're going to start off this show with a short list of damage to America by one particular South African migrant. Move on to all the dirty deeds in the big billionaire's budget passed by the House GOP. And follow all of that up with the crypto scam the president doesn't want you to know about. Let's begin, shall we? They say hindsight is 20/20. They also say it's the lamest superpower, according to Professor X. Either way, the last person anyone in the world thought would have regrets about anything they've done since October of 2024 is the South African dipshit. And yet, here we are.
Are you going to continue to spend at that kind of level on future elections?
I think in terms of political spending, I'm going to do a lot less in the future.
And why is that?
I think I've done enough.
Sounds like the audience agrees with the rest of the world. And I have to say, this is probably the best move Elon Musk could have made, considering how he's fucked up just about everything. For starters, because of this douche and his cuts to our federal government, planes are falling from the sky, and no one's around to warn Midwesterners about tornadoes heading straight for them.
Deadly storms have left a path of destruction across parts of the U.S. At least 28 people are dead after severe storms swept across Missouri, Kentucky, and Virginia.
5,000 homes were damaged in Missouri alone. This is all part of a system that brought 11 tornadoes to Minnesota and Wisconsin Thursday.
Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear also late this afternoon declaring another state of emergency for parts of Kentucky.
Well, right now, Allegan County is under a state of emergency. The area was hit particularly hard by two tornadoes.
Winds of 95 miles per hour were recorded, and while no deaths or injuries were noted, many people have gone without running water, lights, or AC.
People here are going to need a lot of help, and there are city, county, and state resources already set up. We're told FEMA is on the ground, but the agency is facing challenges of its own.
CBS News has learned FEMA has lost about a third of its staff. 1,800 taking President Trump's buyout offer. Another 200 or so probationary workers were fired.
Elon Musk demanded cuts of 600 people from the 4,000 strong weather service. That's a lot of people. And this, as a result, there are reports that some over 100 stations will not have overnight forecasters, which is extremely dangerous. This is not one of the most expensive parts of the federal government.
And yet, the ketamine cowboy and his merry band of H-1B visas were able to fire half of the staff, and just in time for tornado season. So far, 28 people have died, thanks to Elon Schmuck's chainsawing of our democracy. And an untold billions in damages are about to be called in by states looking for a little FEMA in their lives. Unfortunately for them, puppy killer gnome running the DHS has spent FEMA money on kidnapping people off the street and trafficking them to foreign countries without due process. A right lip filler gnome wrongfully believes her boss has, thanks to habeas corpus. Roll tape.
Secretary Gnome, what is habeas corpus?
Well, habeas corpus is a constitutional right that the president has to be able to remove people from this country
That's incorrect. Habeas corpus is the legal principle that requires that the government provide a public reason for detaining and imprisoning people. If not for that protection, the government could simply arrest people, including American citizens, and hold them indefinitely for no reason.
Do you know what section of the Constitution the suspension clause of habeas corpus is in?
I do not. Nope.
Do you know which article it is in?
No, I do not, sir. Okay.
Well, duh. Of course she doesn't know the fuck all about the United States Supreme Court or the U.S. Constitution or any of the laws that govern our country that she happens to live in, has been governor of one of the states, and now terrifyingly decides what security in the homeland means. And the bitch doesn't even know where the fuck one of our nation's most core principles comes from. Seriously, South Dakota, this one's on you. But I digress, because the current subject at hand is just how fucked up the dark maggot has made America since becoming a special government twat. And it doesn't stop with the douchebags cutting FEMA and the National Weather Service's staff, which poses its own set of problems.
The government agency that provides weather data for every weather station and every weather app and monitors storms and sends out emergency alerts for all kinds of severe weather is the National Weather Service. And the National Weather Service in Kentucky has three offices. None of them is fully staffed because of Trump's cuts to the National Weather Service. The office that handles forecasts for eastern Kentucky, where Friday's tornado struck, it's short seven staff members, which means that, among other things, the office no longer has an overnight staff at all. Because, again, obviously, we would hope that severe weather has the decency to only strike during business hours. These kinds of cuts just systematically reduce our ability to cope with something as inescapable and inevitable as severe weather.
And as you can see, the ketamine-soaked influence of the cyber cuck isn't just ruining our ability to respond to any type of severe weather, which will bankrupt states now that the federal assistance has been redirected and just in time for hurricane season. He is also responsible for the most embarrassing moment in the Oval Office to date, when the president of South Africa stopped by to have a chat with Fat Nixon about future trade negotiations, but instead was ambushed with white supremacy conspiracies, courtesy of the cuck.
In the Oval Office, President Trump is actually conducting a show and tell.
Ambushing the president of South Africa.
Yeah, it's not quite a Zelensky level blow up. You get the impression that perhaps President Trump wanted this to happen as it is playing out.
It very quickly devolved into this dispute about these allegations that President Trump and Elon Musk, the South African billionaire, have been making, despite the South African president trying to convince President Trump that what he said is untrue. The president appeared unmoved.
I must tell you, Mr. President, we have had a tremendous number of people, especially since they've seen this. Generally, they're white farmers, and they're fleeing South Africa, and it's a very sad thing to see. But I hope we can have an explanation of that, because I know you don't want that.
President Trump at one point calling for the lights to be dimmed and playing a video, and then showing a stack of papers that he said were articles proving a white genocide.
Burial sites, over 1,000. Of white farmers.
Have they told you where that is, Mr. President? I'd like to know where that is, because this I've never seen. There is criminality in our country. People who do get killed, unfortunately, through criminal activity, are not only white people. Majority of them are black people. I'm sorry, I don't have a plane to give you.
I wish you did. I would take it.
Ugh, well, that's fucked up. Not only is bribery the butt of a not-so-funny joke, but thanks to apartheid Clyde, the lumbering lardass has some new lies to repeat about countries he knows nothing about. And while I don't expect the Big Lebowski to hear this next clip, it's important that you do, so at least someone knows the truth about the South African white genocide that isn't fucking happening. Starting with the copper-colored convan's lies displayed in the Oval on a roll-in TV and stacks of wasted paper.
We've come to the location shown in that video played in the Oval Office. There are no graves. There's no graveyard. In fact, we now know that the crosses in that same video were part of a protest organized by a local community after the death of a couple that was killed here.
Overall, Trump's compilation does mislead that there is a wave of anti-white hate and white genocide taking place in South Africa. And while the country does have a very high murder rate, it's around an average of 72 people a day in a country that has a population of 60 million people. Most of these victims are black. He held up a headline that says, "Let's talk about Africa, which is where tribalism takes you," published by a blog called The American Thinker. There's also a thumbnail here of bodies being buried as well. Now, this article that he's holding is still online. It's pretty easily findable. And unlike what he said about this all being in the last few days, this blog post is not. It's dated February 13th earlier this year. As for the image that he said there shows white farmers being buried, this is not even in South Africa. This is actually an image of aid workers burying bodies in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. These figures from the South African Police Service from 2024, they recorded over 26,000 murders in 2024. 44 of these were within the farming community, and out of that, only 8 of those were farmers.
Because there is no white genocide happening in South Africa. That is a lie South Africans like Elon Schmuck have been telling since 1994, when apartheid ended, along with the white people's reign on that region. And if there were a genocide happening in South Africa, then why are only 59 Afrikaners fast-tracked into the United States when there are more than 4.5 million of them still over there living and not worried about getting killed? Not to mention that 73% of the farmland is owned by white farmers, who then hire black natives to work those farms, who then account for the majority of people killed on farms. Sounds to me like immigration policy is now coming from Muskrat Douche himself, who was there, by the way, in the Oval Office, sulking at the South African president through his bloodshot eyes and a facial expression with subtitles that screamed impotent rage. That resting bitch face his mediocre man-child displays whenever someone tells him no, kind of like how other countries have been doing for a while. Saying no to his testicles, space explode, and the internet service used to steal elections, otherwise known as Starlink. You know, the reason why Ronald Grump has been tariffing all over the world since his regime started occupying the White House?
This whole tariff scam has not been about bringing American jobs home, but instead, what Trump has been doing is threatening massive tariffs on countries, and then reporting and leaks have started coming out that these countries are then opening up to Musk's companies and signing contracts or looking at contracts with Starlink as a way of getting out from underneath these tariffs. You could be paying thousands of dollars more a year in your consumer goods because of these tariffs, all so that Trump can basically extort countries to do business with his buddy Elon Musk that bought him the presidency.
Now it makes sense why everything's getting so much more expensive in the United States. You and I are paying trumped up prices on everything we need and some of the things we want because the petulant pimple is using the dunce cap occupying the White House as his personal attack orange. So now there's 50% tariffs on the EU and whatever the tariffs are in China. They change from day to day depending on how many 10-piece buckets the fraud father actually gets his tiny hands on, leaving retailers like Walmart pissed off because they're about to lose customers thanks to having to raise prices in order to keep their executive salaries from crashing like the economy on any given Friday. And in retaliation, Von Shits and Pants channels his inner Marie Antoinette and says this to the company his supporters exclusively shop at.
President Trump, a short time ago, telling Walmart that the company should, I'm quoting now, eat the cost, end quote, of higher tariffs. The comments come after the retail giant said this week that it would raise prices because of Trump's tariffs being too high.
Walmart announced Thursday they would begin passing on rising costs to shoppers at the end of this month, but they didn't specify by how much.
This weekend, President Trump warning the nation's largest retailer against raising prices. Posting on True Social, Walmart should stop trying to blame tariffs as the reason. He then added the retailer and China should eat the tariffs. The post comes 2 days after Walmart CEO Doug McMillon warned on a quarterly earnings call that prices may rise amid the president's trade war with China and other nations.
Even at the reduced levels, the higher tariffs will result in higher prices.
I was on the phone with Doug McMillon, the CEO of Walmart, yesterday, and Walmart is, in fact, as you describe it, eat some of the tariffs. What you were describing was Walmart's earnings call. The other thing that companies have to do, they have to give the worst case scenario so that they're not sued.
Well, as coming to no shock to anyone, that was some of the lamest shit that I've heard in a while. And I cover the news for a living. And let's not forget, this shouldn't even be an issue if countries paid the tariffs like Genghis Khan has been pretending that they do. But in this timeline, American companies pay the tariffs and then recoup the cost from their American customers when they jack up the price. And all of this because Sissy SpaceX is upset about other countries not wanting to do business with a dumb as fuck Nepo baby who has a penchant for hiling in front of all white crowds. For example, South Africa has a law requiring foreign telecommunications investors to have at least a 30% in black ownership stake in any company wanting to qualify for an operating license. And since Starlink doesn't have any black people as owners, because the entire company is owned by Adolf Hitler himself, who is not black, he can't control the internet services in South Africa. And that makes him very upset. Oh, and then there's the fact that Starlink hasn't ever applied for a license to even operate in South Africa. And makes total sense why he had the Tangerine Palpatine bring white genocide lies to the meeting with the South African president. Because either way, one thing is clear. Phony Stark is rigging the system.
Distractingly white on the White House lawn. Selling Teslas while the press looks on. Everything is computer, he says with a grin. Slashing and cutting more money for kids. He's dressed like a loser, sleeps with a gun. Paid with a horse to join the Mile High Club. Reckless and stupid and out of control. Running SpaceX from a ketamine hole. As they play Village People, the rally's done. Both billionaires, so they already won. The arena is empty, except for one man still jumping and yelling as loud as he can. My stocks have gone down and the prices go up. And every card broke in my Cybertruck. But he's lying and crying and tweeting at Grimes and saying concerning for the 99th time. He's rigging the system. He's always on the screen. He's all alone.
And while we're on the subject of paper rich bitches fucking everything up, nothing says the final season of the United States sucks more than the one big billionaire's welfare declaration, otherwise known as the Republicans' excuse for a congressional budget. And even those of you in the back have heard all about this abomination, that it will leave an estimated 14 million Americans without health insurance, 3.2 million adults and children hungry, and states unable to fund public schools. But the reason why is literally mind-blowing. Of course, the purpose is to stop spending taxpayer funds on taxpayers so the rich can eat the poor, and that is diabolical all on its own. But there's an even more unbelievable reason why America's middle class and poorest citizens will have to pay for the wealthy to play, hidden in the 1116-page bill. Here are just a few of them.
Capitol Hill, where it appears House lawmakers have just approved the budget bill to enact some of President Trump's major agenda items.
Very narrow majority, 215 to 214.
The massive bill passed by a single vote in the House, ending days of around-the-clock private negotiations and public committee hearings.
Let's just put some numbers on some of the cuts. The extension of the personal income tax reductions that were made during the 2017 bill and are set to expire at the end of this this year, raising the standard deduction, the child tax credit, tax on overtime, car loans, interest and tips, increasing defense spending, student loan changes, the climate funds, and Medicaid, $700 billion of Medicaid cuts.
There's 12 lines in this big bill. For the first time in 90 years, silencers will not be taxed. If you Wow. are undocumented and you are sending money back to your home country, there's a 5% tax on that. But there's an exception. If you're a citizen, you get a tax credit, you get the money back.
This bill is cutting nearly $1 trillion in Medicaid spending overall. Why? We need no taxes on a $22 million house.
Donald Trump ordering the MAGA Republicans in Congress to put a provision in this budget bill that says that a federal court is not allowed to hold anybody in contempt of court, criminal or civil contempt, under the federal rules of civil procedure. Section 70303. So not only would this apply future cases, but it would apply retroactively as well to the various cases involving Donald Trump.
Page 901, line 20.
Repeal of excise tax on indoor tanning services.
So they're going to repeal, they're repealing an excise tax on tanning beds. Right. And I don't know where this particular provision came from. We do know that there are certain elected officials who appear to have a certain orange hue about them, that maybe they want to make sure that tanning beds get a little bit of special credit. But really, really, we are prioritizing tanning beds over hospital beds in rural America.
And with that, let's get into this wealthy man's welfare bill House Republicans just passed. First off, let's dispel that fairy tale about no tax on tips, because it is not what Barbecue Brutus promised. In the bill, Republicans said no tax on cash tips up to $25,000, which is hilarious because servers historically do not claim cash tips. And with the majority of customers paying with cards and phone tap, there really aren't tips coming in as cash, and all of them then would be subject to taxation.
A bullshit. A bullshit. A bullshit. A bullshit.
And then there's the child tax credit up to $5,000. But in order to qualify, both parents need to be in the same household, have social security numbers, and the child has to be under the age of 7 years old. Because at the age of 7, Republicans now consider your kid to no longer be a dependent, which works out great for states like Mississippi, New Mexico, Oklahoma, where there's no age minimum for getting married with parental consent, and states like Arkansas, where child labor laws are a joke because a 14-year-old can now work full-time.
This is some bullshit.
And let's not forget about Medicare and Medicaid. Cuts totaling nearly $700 billion while now requiring the elderly and disabled to work for the money they've paid into the program their entire lives. And then you've got that what the fuck with the deregulation of gun silencers, which serves absolutely no other purpose than to perhaps surprise the fuck out of students when they can't hear the gunfire at the next school shooting. By the way, silencers have been banned in the United States since 1934, along with machine guns, because they're really fucking dangerous to the general public. But Republicans in 2025 couldn't give any fucks because they're too focused on getting tax breaks on their $22 million houses and tanning beds.
Oh, brother, this guy stinks!
But the worst provision Republicans put in their big billionaire giveaway is that part about rescinding any funding used to hold someone in criminal contempt of court. A problem the Trump regime's lawyers might be facing soon enough for defying federal and Supreme Court orders to stop kidnapping people in this country and trafficking them to foreign lands without due process. Because Crimes the Clown is going to find it really difficult to represent his case in court when All his attorneys have been sent to jail and disbarred. All things that can happen when you find yourself in criminal contempt of court. And the only reason this provision was added to the budget.
And remember, kids, the next time that somebody tells you the government wouldn't do that, oh, yes, they would.
And you know what else the Trump regime would do?
President Trump held a private dinner for more than 200 investors.
Spent the evening wining and dining with the top investors in his family's meme coin.
Attendees were among the top 220 holders of the Trump coin.
The guests paid between $55,000 and $37.7 million for the Trump coin, making the average cost of a seat at the dinner over $1
million. $394 million has been spent already on that so-called Trump coin.
Trump's family business basically auctioned off access to the president by promising the top 220 purchasers of his coin a seat at his crypto gala, at his golf club, of course, in Washington, D.C. Now, the top 25 coin purchasers of that 220 got even more access to Trump. They were invited to an exclusive VIP cocktail reception before the dinner. His name is Justin Sun, and he's a Chinese-born crypto mogul who until recently was being prosecuted by the SEC for his own alleged crypto scams. That was until Justin Sun invested $75 million in Trump's family crypto business. And then suddenly, Trump's SEC decided to pause the case against Sun. That about 764,000 people, most of whom bought much smaller amounts of Trump's meme coin, have all lost money on their investment.
80% of the Trump coin project is owned by two companies affiliated or in business with President Trump.
And Trump himself had long knocked the exact type of crypto he's now hawking as what he called a scam before apparently finding out how profitable it can be for him.
Bitcoin, it just seems like a scam. I don't like it because it's another currency competing against the dollar.
Potentially a disaster waiting to happen. They may be fake. Who knows what they are? I'm a big fan of the dollar. I'm a big fan of our currency, and I don't want to have other currencies coming out and hurting or demeaning the dollar.
I think it's a very dangerous thing.
Oh, really? A big fan of the U.S. dollar, you say? Don't want any other currency competing with that U.S. dollar unless... it's a fake currency with a dollar sign and your name on it. Then it's just a means to an end by which you can collect an estimated $300 million and counting in bribes from who the fuck knows, because no one will tell the public who showed up at this bribe-a-thon because those people were wearing masks as they walked in, especially not press schmuckretary Carolyn spelled with 3 K's Levitt when asked by the press.
On the president's dinner, will the White House commit to making a list of the attendees public so people can see who's paying for that kind of access to the president?
Well, as you know, Gareth, this question has been raised with the president. I have also addressed the dinner tonight. The president is attending it in his personal time. It is not a White House dinner. It's not taking place here at the White House.
You mentioned this is not a White House dinner, but the president is always the president, and the Trump family is making money off of this. So can you just explain how is this not the president using the office to enrich himself?
All of the president's assets are in a blind trust, which is managed by his children. And
the law detective determined that was a lie.
A sit-down that has been advertised on a website. There's a, quote, exclusive bonus, which reads, for the top 25 coin holders, you are invited to an exclusive reception before dinner with your favorite president. Plus, we have separately arranged arranged for a special VIP tour for you. All right, a special VIP tour, but to where? So when this contest was first announced, that exclusive bonus actually read a little differently. It was specific. Generally, they said, we have separately by us arranged for a special VIP White House tour for you. Now, why is that significant? Because that initial statement and phrasing makes the obvious clear. There is no separating a president from the presidency. There is no this is personal and something else isn't. Because Trump is personally getting money from the transaction fees on his meme coins, at least $1.3 million in fees in the weeks after Trump first announced this dinner.
This was essentially an open advertised competition to see who would pay the biggest literal tribute to Donald Trump's crypto coin. This is really not functionally different than if those guests showed up with satchels of cash or briefcases with stacks of bills and then just dumped all that into a big bucket physically held by the president of the United States.
Democracy isn't dying, it's being rug pulled. That's basically what the message here is.
Well, that fucking sucks. And another thing, Thin Lips Levitt may have some mad bullshit skills, but since Dolt 45 is the president's from January 20th, until the time we pry the White House back from his tiny filet-o-fish-smelling hands, he was acting in his employee capacity during his quid pro quo. Cell phone footage of the event shows old Yam Tits standing in front of several American flags and behind a podium with the presidential seal plastered to the front of it. And for authenticity, he is even wearing the same dumpy dark blue suit he's been wearing for the last 100 and something days since Starlink declared him the winner of the 2024 presidential election. And the very worst part of all of this is, as of right now, 40% of Schindler's net worth is directly tied to the massive amounts of actual cash he is receiving because of his fake crypto. Think about that. Save-A-Lot Stalin wants his followers to believe that cutting funding for SNAP will reduce the price of groceries for all of us, as he's reappropriating taxpayer money to some of his bullshit.
The Trump administration is going to pay nearly $5 million to settle a lawsuit brought by the family of Ashley Babbitt. Babbitt was the rioter fatally shot by an officer during the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol.
Ashley Babbitt's family filed a wrongful death lawsuit last year asking for $30 million. Police shot the 35-year-old California woman as she was trying to climb into a Capitol lobby right outside the House chamber.
Her family filed a $30 million lawsuit over her death, saying the officer who shot her was not in uniform and did not use any warnings. The officer who shot and killed Babbitt was never found of any criminal wrongdoing following an initial investigation by the Justice Department.
I'm a big fan of Ashley Babbitt, okay? And Ashley Babbitt was a really good person who was a big MAGA fan, Trump fan, and she was innocently standing there. They even say trying to sort of hold back the crowd. And a man did something to her that was unthinkable when he shot her.
This is unbelievable to see this moment rewarded with a $5 million settlement.
But what message does it send that an individual, if she lived, she would have been charged. She would have been charged with a crime. She would have been a criminal. What message does that send out there to not just everyday citizens, but to people who other criminals at the Capitol who may have been sprayed by police or may have been hit by police, do they get to sue and now be rewarded because their record's clean with Donald Trump pardoning them?
And what about the fourth meal wackos who are buying ICE and FBI paraphernalia on Amazon right now so they can kidnap and assault people like what's going on in South Carolina and Philadelphia? Or how about the fact that we can't say for sure the J6ers aren't being deputized by ICE and that's why they're wearing masks to hide their identities? But above all that, let's just get one thing perfectly clear about Ashley Babbitt. She was killed insurrecting while trying to push her way through the broken window of a barricaded door leading to the Speaker's lobby where officers were evacuating members of Congress. She was told repeatedly to stop by the Capitol Police officer who shot and killed her only after she refused to stop breaking into the Capitol. Ashley Babbitt was a U.S. veteran. She should have known and understood how to take an order. But apparently, trying to overturn an election by violently threatening elected officials was way more important to her and the only fucking reason why she isn't here with us. She and her ilk do not deserve any sympathy from the public. And those assholes who raised that treasonous bitch certainly do not deserve a dime of taxpayer money. And this stunt is nothing more than an abuse of the Cheeto-in-Chief's power to waste $5 million in taxpayer money by giving it to this fraud's family, in what can only be described as insurance just in case Scooby-Coo ever needs his supersized Al-Qaeda to insurrect for him in the next 3 years. And that's all I have to say about that. New episodes of This Week Again air every Sunday. You can follow me, Suzanne Posel, or the show, This Week Again, on social media platforms like Blue Sky, Threads, Insta, Facebook, and we're always available for your listening pleasure, places like Spotify, iHeartRadio, Audible, Amazon, wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you so much for listening to this show. Ta-der for now.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
These are difficult times, and if you believe in justice, progress, and democracy, the news you read and listen to can be pretty depressing. And that's why there's a new podcast called Good News for Lefties and America. Every day it features positive news stories for progressive listeners, because no matter how disturbing the headlines might be, there's always hope we can build on for a better tomorrow. Good News for Lefties and America. Listen on this platform at goodnewsforlefties.com or wherever podcasts are heard.